there, Minnow Nerds. This is Steve Kimes, and I'm here to talk to you about creation as spirituality. All right, so Romans 1 says, since the creation of the world, the attributes of God have been clear. His eternal power and divine nature is clearly seen through what he has made. So if that's true, then the question is, how do you best experience or observe God and his creation? Do you ever seek out God and nature? And what do you learn about the spirit in the midst of physical creation? That's the question that we want to deal with this time. So I ask you this time around, Menno Nerds, set aside your Bibles for a moment. Just look at the world around you. Look at the nice city of Portland sign. No, look behind that to the waterfall. Look around you and see the world around you. Tell me about God in this physical form. What do you see God? Now, to tell my perspective, I want to tell you a story that happened a number of years ago. I had a friend. I was driving around the U.S. He's from Bangladesh. We drove through Montana and South Carolina. He was stunned at the massive amounts of empty, beautiful land that there was in the United States. And he says, my whole nation could fit in this state with lots of room to spare. Well, for us, maybe it wouldn't be a lot of room. Bangladesh has 156 million people in it, in a nation the size of Wisconsin. But you can see that for him, Montana, twice the size, maybe three times the size of Wisconsin, that would be awesome. However, there'd be no beaches. Bangladesh has beautiful, beautiful beaches. But anyway, that's beside the point. So he says to me, Bangladesh is the richest nation in the world. And my eyes are raised and all that. I'm just like, really? Really, you think that? He says, the real wealth of this world is God. And people are made in the image of God and have God within them. So, and Bangladesh, he says, has more people than anyone else. Now, it is true that Bangladesh is the population densest country of its size in the world. So I said all that just to say that the creation of God that I'm most stunned by is human beings. I learned so much about God by observing humans. Now, I know humans have their weak points and they seem very distant from God, but every single one is still so much like God. Every person is creative. They're planning. Now, think of the huge plans of the creations that humanity has made, which a lot of times it competes with God's creation, which is a big deal. Think about the different sexes. The different sexes show God. We have male and female. Both male and female were created in God's image. A lot of people think that God is specifically male. Well, look in the Bible, God is mostly male in the Bible. That's ridiculous. The fact is that God, it says in the Bible, is both male and female. Both male and female were created in his image. This means that what makes humanity of God is as much female as it is male. Also, the intricacy and ingenuity of God is seen in the packed human being and the complexities of our brains. How all this machinery and function can fit into this compact package. Well, some of our packages are less compact than others, but it even so, in that little package, there's so much that a human being can do, so many things, and it's all packed in here. If you really want to be stunned, read one of Paul Brand's books about the anatomy of humanity. The Anatomy of Humanity, right? Like Fearfully and Wonderfully Made, or his book on pain is just amazing. All right, I got a time limit. I'm stopping now. Anyway, we'll talk to you guys later. Ta-ta.
Donald Trump has initiated his war for climate change. He's making it easier to use fossil fuels, and he has removed the requirement that federal agencies should keep in mind what effects their decisions have on climate change, because that's how you truly make America great again, by ignorance. I doubt that the American Christians who voted for and supported Trump denies climate change. Some of them do, certainly, but I think a lot of them don't. They just don't seem to care that much about that. And some might think, why would they? Does the Bible talk about climate change? I think not. But if this is a real issue, and let's just assume that for a moment, let's assume that the majority of scientists have a correct view on this, then obviously we should care about it, because climate change will kill hundreds of millions of people. And I find it very hard to think that, you know, avoiding persecution is more important than avoiding letting 100 million people die, because Christians should expect to be persecuted. It's not like the Bible says at all costs avoid persecution. On the contrary, the Bible says that any genuine believer will be persecuted. It's not really something you get away from. But let me then address those Christians who do think that, you know, climate change is a hoax, as Trump said, invented by the Chinese, or, you know, the science isn't real, and, you know, the skeptical scientists have more support on their side, they have better arguments, and so on. I would simply ask them, why do you believe that? Because you can't just point to, look, here's a scientist saying that climate change isn't real, because you will have many more scientists saying that it is real and that humans contribute to climate change. And it might be hard for Americans to see this, but out here in the rest of the world, we don't have much of a problem accepting the climate science, because we don't have any reasons not to. And compare this with the evolution versus creation debate. I think it's understandable that many Christians say evolution is wrong, because even though I don't agree with their interpretation of the Bible, I see why they want to have a literalistic reading of Genesis, and so they find problems with the contemporary science. That makes sense. What doesn't make sense is when Christians say, hey, that climate change science is a bunch of crap, and we should not believe in that. What are the incentives of even saying that? Why is that a trend, Christians denying climate change science? It makes a lot of sense that those who run organizations driven by cheap fossil fuel do. And so what I think we see here is Christianity being intertwined with capitalism to the degree that it has become sort of a Christian view to either say that climate change is a hoax or that it isn't important. I mean, the biblical support for denying climate change are horrible. Some people say, well, the God promised not to drown the earth again, and that's why he put the rainbow up. But, you know, climate change isn't about drowning the entire earth. It is about millions of people dying because of changed weather. There's nothing in the Bible that says that we will have eternal growth. There's a lot in the Bible that indicates that the man-made project of Babylon will collapse. I guess the only way a Christian can rationalize to deny climate change is to say, well, Christians should stand for truth. And it simply is the truth that climate change is wrong. But again, what's your basis for saying that it's true? Pointing to a climate scientist saying climate change is a hoax doesn't lead you very far, because there are also scientists who agree that climate change is real and that it's man-made, and they have just as much credentials, in fact, I would say even more, and they are in a majority. Obviously, if you are a climate change denier, I don't think this video will change your mind, but I just want to put out the challenge to you. Why have you reached that position? Because for me, as a non-American, it doesn't make any sense. I can't see from the scriptures or just my own theological thinking why I would reach the conclusion that human greed will not end in disaster. Thank you for watching.
Hey, Mennonite Nerds, this is Deborah, and today I want to talk to you about creation. Creation is one of God's most amazing gifts to the world, in my opinion. It's just incredible when you're climbing a mountain, when you're swimming in a lake, or even when it's minus 20 and it's snowing outside, to think about how our world has so many variations and so much difference in terms of climate and geography. Now, what I want to discuss today, in particular about creation, is finding that special place. For me, I've always felt that God speaks the clearest to me when I'm in His big, wide world. And so for the past, I would say, almost 6 or 7 years, when I've been living away from campus, when I've been living away from school, I have found particular places that I like to go to, which are places of peace and inner tranquility to me. And this place here is not necessarily very special. This is just a random place. I just moved to this community, so I don't know of a special place yet. But I can tell you, one of the most important places to me was when I lived in Richmond Hill. There was this pond. It's probably kind of similar to this, except without the gate. And it was called Mill Pond. Now, at first glance, Mill Pond is not that special. It's just your average pond. There were some geese, some ducks, some walkways. But for me, that's where a lot of inner transformation started taking place. That's where I got onto my writing binges. That's where I would write my most poignant poetry, as it were. That's where I would wrestle with deep theological themes of grace, justice, and forgiveness. I would climb a tree. I would read the Bible from that tree. And I would just pray and just meditate on the word. And I don't necessarily know if it was because of that place itself. I don't really think so. I think it was just that there is some healing property that's related when you're in nature. And the same thing when I was in Scotland. I found this park, just an average park, Pilrig. And I would travel there a lot during my free time. And I would just bring books and just read, or just even connect with the local people as they were walking their dogs. And I don't really necessarily have any deep thing to share about nature. I just wanted to say that because it's God's gift to us, we have to do our part to make sure that the earth and the environment is going to stay intact. And I'm not going to go into many details, because I'm sure you all know about fossil fuels and I'm sure you all know about recycling. But just take a moment this week to appreciate the nature. Just get away from your screens, get away from your phones, get away from your laptops, and just go to be in a tranquil place like this and experience God and ask Him, what do you want to tell me? How do you want to speak to me? And thank Him for this awesome gift.
Hey everyone, this is Paul Walker. If you like what you just heard, be sure to check out more of what we have to offer at menonerds.com. It's the hub for all things Menno Nerds. From there, you can learn more about these podcasts, syndicated blogs from people all over the world, books authored by some of our members, and a host of other exciting free resources for you and your church. Now, there's one last thing. What we do costs a bit of money, and we're always doing it on a volunteer basis. We have people that are committed to making this happen, but we could use more people. If you like what we do, please consider donating monthly. We have two options. You can either do a monthly donation through Patreon, or you can give a one-time donation at any time through PayPal. We love the work we do, but we do need your help to keep it going and to expand into new territory. If you would like to donate, check out menonerds.com/donate. Thanks for listening, and as always, have a great day.